Thanks for listening to the Woodward Podcast Network. Check out more shows by searching for us on Spreaker or wherever you catch your podcasts. The Woodward Podcast Network with Krupka Dental Associates.
Hello, this is Dr. John Krupka from Krupka Dental. We now have the Solea laser. You can have your fillings done without needles nor drills. We are a full-service dental office and always accepting new patients. To learn more about me and my friendly team, visit KrupkaDental.com.
Attention, please.
And now, it's Cutter's Rockcast.
I just walked in the door.
All right, where you been?
Well, I was at work, and they decided to have a masseuse come today.
Oh, nice.
Which was amazing, right?
Yeah.
So I signed up. They moved the times. So I'm getting my massage, and I'm fucking out. And I think I caught myself snoring a couple times. I'm not even going to lie. and then, I was supposed to be 15 minutes and she did it for a half an hour. Like, we got done. I'm like, I thought I was only going to do it for 15 minutes. Shit, I got to go. It's a fucking interview to do. Anyway.
Do you, when you get massages, do you like feel sick the next day? Cause all the toxins release in your body and shit or?
No, but I definitely get like the out of it and just want to curl up somewhere and not do anything.
Yeah. You know what I mean? No doubt.
What's up, Jamie?
What's up, dude? It's a long time no see. How you been, buddy?
I've been all right, man. Shall we talk about your band?
I think so. We'll talk about whatever.
All right.
Talk about massages.
Dude, I'm just like, I'm so ready to just like put on other pants and or get naked and do nothing.
Nice.
Not right now. That's for later. That's for next time you guys are in town and we can be all naked together. Yeah.
Don't tempt me.
Don't tempt me with a good time. Joined by Marty and Jimmy of the band The Lonely Ones. It's good to see you, boys. It's been too long.
You too,
so
man.
Happy, man.
This is it's an interesting story, your band. If for those who don't know, The Lonely Ones was Boba Flex, kind of.
Right.
Okay.
Yep, there's a couple of us that were there. So, yeah.
Right. So, okay. So, start there. Like, go from the process of that. Because Boba Flex, I mean, you guys did some shit. Like, you guys, you know, you were kind of always kind of right there on that cusp, it felt like. And thank you for letting us open for you plenty of times.
Absolutely.
But that ended, and now you've started The Lonely Ones. So start right there. Like, I want to know the process of coming from that to this.
Hardy, you want to do it?
Yeah, so, I mean, Jimmy, Tommy, and I knew each other very, very well. So it was kind of just natural. The cool thing was, you know, Boba Flex did really well. We had, you know, we could tour the country. We could sell out shows all over the country. That was a blast. Didn't feel like it was Boba Flex without Sean. So it felt, like Jimmy said last night in the interview, it felt, you know, creatively dishonest if we were just going to take a paycheck and run that way. But it was really scary at first. But it was also really exciting to do something new and just kind of like, you know, I just creatively was a lot of fun to just jump outside the box. Mm-hmm. So we started The Lonely Ones. We recorded a bunch of music, rehearsed like crazy, got all this stuff going, and then bam, the world shut down. COVID-19 hit. And we felt it just like everybody else in the world felt it. And I remember making a joke saying, well, if we can get over this hurdle, we can get through anything. So finally the restrictions started to lift and we were able to go back out on the road. And it took a minute for people to kind of, you know, what is this? Is this a different band? Are you guys playing Boba Flex songs? You know, what's going on? But, you know, it's starting to catch on and people are starting to understand that, you know, this is a different band. It's a different sound, totally different vibe. And it's catching on and people are liking it. And it's our 100% full-time job. And I'm having a blast.
So what was the reason, Sean leaving? I mean, was that the reason for Boba Flex kind of going away?
Yeah, Sean's daughter turned 13 at the time, mm-hmm. and he's a great dad, but he wants to be, he's like, I'm missing piano recital. He wants to be every piano recital, every volleyball game. You know, he's like, she's getting close. I'm going to have to teach her to drive. I don't want anybody else teaching her to drive. I want to do all these things. And so he did that, and, you know, it was devastating to us. None of us have kids. Sean's the only one that has a daughter. She's a wonderful kid, man. So he just wanted to be there more, you know, because Boba Flex was a relentless touring machine. And unfortunately, you know, in the music industry these days, that's how you make your money. And And it's like a construction company. You got to work 7 days a week if you want to pay the bills. And it was just a bit much for him. And we understood. And we, you know, we respected his decision. So the rest of us decided, it's like, well, this is what we love and this is what we want to do. So we're going to continue on. And then Sean got the itch again, like after being home and working a regular job. And that kind
as
of
you
stuff.
Do.
Like, can we do some shows, you know, some, like 3 or 4 shows a year? I was like, absolutely. So, you know, we're The Lonely Ones is our main priority, but we get to go back and do Bubble Flex, you know, 3-4 times a year and release music. Still have a blast doing that. And that's so much fun. And that fan base always welcomes us back. And that fan base has helped propel The Lonely Ones into, you know, starting at, you know, step 3 instead of square 1, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. That was the one thing about that band, right? Like, you, as underground as you guys were, and although, yes, there were some songs on the radio here and there, and there were some videos and all that, that fan base was hardcore of yours. So, I can imagine how that would propel a new project into to at least have a start, to at least have a base.
Absolutely. It didn't hurt at all. It was and we super appreciative of the people that followed us. And there were some people like, it's not my thing. But most people followed us, and it just meant the world. It means the world to us every day, you know, that we were able to start on a platform that was just, you know, wasn't square one, a little bit higher than it. It definitely helped, like, take off a little bit of the stress of this. Is, you know, we're starting from the beginning. We're, you know, we're driving ourselves now. We're doing our own merch. We're doing everything like that. We were princesses. Now we're back to the nitty gritty.
Just Jimmy. Jimmy's the princess.
Yeah,
it's me. It has been cool watching, you know, the band grow. Once we got back out on the road and weren't just a, you know, studio entity through COVID, you know, now we're to the point where we're gaining, you know, just as many fans that, you know, grew organically and independently from the Boba Flex fan base, completely separate. So it's been nice watching that happen. You know, on just this, you know, close to the same scale at this point, that nearly half of our fans either have no idea who Boba Flex is, or, you know, are learning about Boba Flex kind of in reverse from how a lot of people learned about The Lonely Ones.
Sure, you go down
so
the wormhole
really
a little bit.
Part.
Yeah, you go down the wormhole a little bit. Okay, so you start you guys decide to start The Lonely Ones. What's the first thing that comes to your mind as far as the music goes? Are you trying to keep it? I mean, I've listening to your music. Kind of know the answer, but I'm curious what the mindset was. Are you trying to keep it kind of similar to that, or was it like, no, this is brand new?
Can I take this one, Marty?
Go for it,
brand new. Yeah, let's do something brand new. And it's like, what I've realized over the years, you know, with the two singer dynamic, I'm not a metal singer. I don't have a gnarly growl. I don't have a vicious scream. I'm a rock singer. Yeah. Jimmy's not a metal guitar player. You know, and what turns me on is, you know, rock and roll music with, you know, singable melodies and thing, you know, emotion and feeling. And nothing against metal. I'm a metal fan. I'm just not good at it. Or it's not where my strong suits lie. Same thing with Jimmy, you know, so we just kind of wanted to veer off, like, let's do this thing where, you know, it's less niche and more just straight up, you know, big rock songs. Because that's where I feel comfortable and that's where my voice lends itself to. And it definitely, you know, and I love Boba Flex, but it was definitely, we don't want to just come out sounding exactly like Boba Flex. What would be the point?
You're not wrong. Although you know, some musicians may not necessarily always agree. There is a little bit of a different sound to The Lonely Ones. That's why when I started to ask that question, like, I can kind of answer by listening to your songs, but there's an interesting, because it's not just straightforward rock and roll. There's some other elements there. There's some other things.
What would you say those elements are, sir?
I don't know. It's weird because there's, like, even just listening to your latest single, right? There's almost like a glam feel to it.
Really?
Because it kind of has that sort of like up, down sort of, I don't know, dude. I'm not a good enough musician to sit here and go over theory, but
That's not true. We definitely
maybe a there's maybe not glam, maybe that's not the right answer, because I'm thinking more of like that 70s rock kind of pop vibe to it.
Well, like if power if, pop, it's like 70s glam, Gary Glitter kind of the sweet type vibe.
T-Rex
in the back of our minds.
I was going to say, if the camera switches to Jimmy, he will understand exactly why that vibe comes through.
Yeah, I love old Chin Chapman, like stomp, clap, sing along, you know, early 70s glam rock. I like the real like tight drum sound.
Yeah.
You know, even I don't even really like disco as a genre of music, but sonically it's such a well-made type of music that I always thought was cool when people incorporate the way that sounds into, you know, a more high energy rock kind of feel. And that was kind of what we consciously went for, you know, even before we'd even recorded track one. You know, we kind of sat over and just peeled through songs that we liked the sound of and the vibe that we liked, and really made a concerted effort to fall in line, you know, on that track, because rock is, you know, such a stylized genre at this point. You really can't have too many things from column C if you're trying to set in column A, or people are just going to get confused.
I would agree with that. I also agree, like, one of the main things that we talked about was like, we want people to dance. It's like, we want the beat and the groove to make you have to move without thinking about it, and subconsciously make you start to dance. And when you can dance, girls start to show up. When girls start to show up.
Oh, I see. I see. It all comes.
Successful. Yeah. If girls can buy tickets, you're a successful band.
It's just to get the girls to show. You know, there's a lot of truth to that, though, man. I mean, even the thing that always blew my mind, you break apart certain genres of, and we're all old enough to know, you know, in the early 2000s, late 90s, right, you go to a metal show, and there's three women there, and it's they're all girlfriends of some other dudes, and there's 700 guys. Mm-hmm. The metalcore genre was always weird to me because it was the opposite. But it was screamy stuff, but to your point, Marty, there was a beat.
There was a beat you had to move to, right?
And it is true. I mean, that's when bands start become be successful, right? It was when that audience kind of gets that 50-50 split to it.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, it's music. I think the purpose of music is to celebrate and to dance. You know what I mean? I love playing music, but to the listener, it's like, I mean, that's what you do. You dance when you listen to music, and you bob your head and you get caught in the trance. And you know, it's why hip hop and rap are so successful, because you just, you know, can't stop. It just makes your head move and there's nothing you can do about it. And that was just something, you know, that you try that, you know, hopefully comes through in your music subliminally. But when you just slam your fist on the table and go, that has got to be a part of our sound. We have to make sure that, are we allowed to say, are we allowed to curse?
Yeah, fuck it.
You have to make sure the asses want to move.
Asses, you know what I mean? Isn't even a curse word.
I don't know. You know, I don't know. So many rules. So, you know, the asses start moving and they can't help it. It's like you might be onto something.
Yeah, no, I agree. And and just listen again to the few songs you guys have out. That's that vibe is definitely there. You can hear it.
Thank you.
I mean, it was
done on purpose.
All right, so talk to me about Bedroom Door. I mean, talk to me about this particular song. I mean, you kind of touched on it, Jimmy, with the feel of the music and kind of what you were going for, but lyrically and the song as a whole.
Well, lyrically, that would be something, you know, I would have to defer to Marty on. Right. I don't think I touched any of the lyrics or melodies on that song at all. But you know, from a music point of view, it really was, you know, something where, you know, from the ground up, we wanted to make it a song that was something that had a groove to it. I think that's something that's lost in general in a lot of modern rock, is, you know, you get the big, you know, arena sampled drums that you hear on so many songs, and they're playing a big cavernous powerful beat, but there's some weird disconnect, and it feels like it's just a drum here and a drum there and a bass over here, and it's not like, doesn't feel like all the pistons of the engine are firing in tandem. And that to me is what gets lost, and you lose that ability to interact physically with a song, whether that's you know, dancing or nodding your head or whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, we kind of just tried to pick all the stuff that we could come up with that, you know, made us feel like you would want to dance, a guitar part that made you feel that way, a drum beat that made you want to feel that way, and made sure that they weren't pushing against each other. So as soon as you get that weird out of step feeling, or you get a little too complicated and put one too many polyrhythms on top of something, you've lost it and it's over.
Well, on top of that, though, just to touch on what Jimmy said real quick, musically, it's not the groove where it's the one note, you know, the Tom Morello riff or something like that. There's full chords. There's full...
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
There's a full sound coming from it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, like Jimmy said, we kind of went simpler too. That was one of our things. Let's go a little more simple. Let's layer less vocals. Let's layer less guitars. It's a two guitar band, bass and drums, three singers. That's enough. Let's do that very simple. And this was the first song where Jimmy switched to guitar on, so you can feel Jimmy's style all over it.
And so that
was, you know, that was the thing. It's like, let's make them dance, let's make them nod. And as far as lyrically, it's a double-edged sword. When I wrote the lyrics, the plan was, is if you find me attractive, then this song is very sexy and very, you know, I'm a dominant, you know, on the cover of the Danielle Steele novel, you know, heartthrob that takes you by the arm and pushes against the wall and kisses you. If you don't find me sexy, it's very stalkery and creepy and predatory. And I thought that was a cool thing, so, you know, if it's one way or the other, it's like, if you're into me, then, oh man, he pushed me against the wall and he kissed me passionately. And if you're not, he pushed me against the wall and he kissed me. You know what I mean? It, you know, and it's, I believe in asking for consent and all that stuff, but I just thought it was, you know, my girlfriend said, "Why, you know, when you ask, can I kiss you?" She's like, "It takes the passion out of it." I was like, "Yeah, but if you're not attracted to me, then it's a little it's creepy." So I just thought that was a cool thing to play. So it depends on what mood the listener's in, or, you know, how the listener feels. It's either creepy or it's sexy. And I just thought that was neat to have that double-edged sword kind of thing. Like, what the hell is this song about?
Well, it's interesting, right? Because in the day and times we're in now, you want to be careful, obviously, and consent is huge. There's no doubt about it. But yeah, you're right. There is still that kind of sexy passion of who's the dark-figured person and, you know. Getting a little hot and bothered, you know, that it's going to have that romanticism.
You know, the female fantasy is the, he dominated me. He took me in this big, strong man. But it's like, at the same time, it's like, you gotta be real damn careful. Because, you know, you try to pull that shit off and you think you're doing the right thing, man. You know, you're not, you're just crossing boundaries. So I just thought it was really neat to, is this, you know, is this guy a stalker, or is this guy, you know, the man of my dreams?
It's almost kind of interesting. It's almost kind of refreshing to hear that that subject matter being hit on a rock and roll song, though. There isn't a lot of that right now.
I would agree. I like to do weird concepts where, what the hell is he talking about? And, you know, it sounds like a party. You know, Your head's bobbing and stuff. And then when you dive a little deeper, you go, wait, is this song, is this dark subject matter, or is this, you know? So I always like to do those things, make you think a little bit, hopefully. And if not, you just bob your head and buy a ticket. Matt, welcome. Come on in.
Speaking of buying tickets, what are you up to? I mean, your last band toured 340 days out of the days that existed within the year.
What that doesn't count radio or acoustic shows.
Well, exactly. You were literally everywhere. It's like, oh, there's a show going on. Oh, Bubbleflex will be there.
Absolutely.
But what about about the Lonely Ones? What are you guys up to?
We are in, what is it, Hallam? How do you say it, Jimmy? Hallam, PA tomorrow, or Friday, with Crazy Town. You remember Crazy Town?
Mm-hmm. Be my butterfly, my sugar, my baby.
Yeah, that was one of my first like industry connections. The singer Shifty Shellshock, Seth Benzer, was one of the first guys that liked me and took me under his wing and kind of helped me with producing songs and like, hey, you can't do this, and get to the chorus faster. And I really like this song. We would call each other back and forth. And, he kind of went off on his own journey,
He did.
He was lost contact. So Friday will be the first time I've seen him or talked to him in years. I don't know if he remembers me, but I definitely remember him. He helped me a lot and set me on a path of writing better songs for sure.
That's awesome. So you're playing with Crazy Town.
Yeah, Friday, and then Saturday we're in Akron, Ohio at the Empire Club, which is a really cool club. It's a small club, but it looks like an arena inside a smaller club.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's super cool. Great PA system, great lights, really cool design. It's like a little mini machine shop.
Anything full-on booked, or is it just kind of the one-offs as they come?
It's a lot of weekend stuff right now. Just, you know, the nature of the beast, of touring in the post-COVID economy. And as a new band too, it doesn't make sense for us to go out and headline in, you know, Oregon or West Texas right now. We haven't made the inroads there quite yet. But you try to open up for other people, and you try to make connections at stations that are supporting in those areas and whatnot. As of now, we're doing the long weekend runs with a couple short tours in the works. I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure, but the way diesel prices are right now, it's not nice for anybody.
Ugh, brutal.
We used to be able to go out and play for nothing just to go have fun and not have a day off. And now it's like you gotta count every nickel.
Yeah, $5.80 a gallon. It's like, you know, if we leave the bus running too long outside of the gas station, we just burnt $20.
Yeah.
That's another thing I'd like to touch on too.
Please.
With the Lonely Ones, radio has been so cool, and you know how radio works. You hire your indie, and our indie gets back to us and goes, everybody in radio that I talk to like you guys because of Bobaflex, because we know everybody. They're like, nobody has a bad thing to say. I was like, really? That's awesome.
But like nobody, like, nobody. Yeah.
So like, Maria, who we hired to work radio, she's like, everybody has nothing but great things to say about you. Everybody knows you really well. She's like, this has been a lot of fun. So that was a cool thing that radio has been, you know, you just make these wonderful connections with people over the years and you follow them. You know, this person may have moved to this city and you just keep these connections going. And it's just a really cool thing. And we're really lucky that we had such great people at radio that are like, oh yeah, we'll give them a shot. I know Marty, I know Tommy, I know Jimmy. Yeah. Let's see what they got. They put it on, man. And it's been really, really cool. So that's another perk for sure.
It's pretty awesome. Right. I mean, it speaks to, not necessarily who you know, but just the connections you make, and you never know sometimes when those are going to work out. Like, I know you guys, not necessarily because of radio, but just because of live shows. That's how I met. So, it's cool. Maria's good people too. She's real good people.
Very cool.
But you guys, dude, I appreciate the little catch up and getting to know kind of how this thing got started. I remember when I saw the announcement, I was like, huh? What? You know? So it's interesting.
There were we.
And the music's cool. Like, for anybody, give it a chance. Looking for something new to listen to. I'm digging on it, man.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
No, you're very welcome. The Lonely Ones, of course, again, the name of the band. Go listen pretty much everywhere. You have select songs out. Is there, are you going to kind of keep doing that path, or are you going to do the full record thing?
We're working our way toward the full record.
Yeah, I think we're going to put a record on the table for people that want that physical copy, which is a pretty small percentage in this day and age.
Yeah.
But as far as Spotify and social media and, you know, Apple Music and all that stuff, I think releasing singles every 2 months is the way that you keep the attention span of people, you know, because I mean, you can talk about music listeners and say they don't buy records anymore. Well, I'm a music listener and I don't either. You know, I mean, I picked a single. Oh, this is cool. Or if something comes up on social media, I go, that band's cool. It has to come up 4 times before I go, oh, click the button, leave what I'm doing. So that's just the world that we live in. And if you keep hitting people with singles, you know, you hit someone with three or four singles and then they finally get, okay, I'll go check this band out.
Right.
So I think that's the way you stay relevant in this day and age. You know, if we were Disturbed level or, you know, Shinedown level and you put out a record, it's different. You know, you got your, you know, couple million
okay.
people that are going
to
go buy
that
record.
To that point, it's funny because you guys are the guest following the week with Disturbed, and Dan and I just had that exact same conversation, and they have just, of course, ahead of their new album coming out, put out another new single. They had two singles out before that, another one, and they're doing the same thing. I mean, that's, you know, yeah, okay, you recorded a record, but their record's only 10 songs. You put out three or four of them before the album ever even hit. So they're doing the exact same thing that you're talking about. Just obviously on a much bigger level.
The new model is definitely, even if you do put a record out, make sure you're putting out, you know, at least a third of the record prior.
And then
singles.
Afterwards, yeah, and then afterwards you still release singles because, you know, like I said, this everybody can record a record now and do a pretty good job at it. And there's so many talented people. The gatekeepers are kind of, the gates are kind of busted down a little bit.
100%.
It's a great time for music and it's a great time for creators, but there's still, it's got to be good and you got to bust through the noise. And it's changed. And if you don't change, then, you know, you're just going to be putting out records and no one's going to hear them. So it's just that kind of relevant thing. It's like the social media thing. Jimmy and I laugh hysterically. It's like being in a rock band is so much fun. We never thought we would say the word algorithm so much.
Dude, you know? I hear you.
That's a part of it, though. We got to hit the algorithms and you know, these streaming service sites and stuff. They want you to, they have these certain tiers that you put out more music. And if you're going to play the streaming game, then you got to play that game and put songs out and stay relevant. And each song sets up the next song. And then the algorithms take off on it and put you in the suggested four and this and that stuff. And it's just another, it's just the music industry has changed, you know, and it changes every 20 seconds super fast. Mm-hmm. You know, now this is the place. TikTok is where artists are blowing up. And I'm like, that shit is moving so fast, man. It's like, it's hard to keep up with, but you know, it's part of the game.
I do morning radio now on our classic rock station. And, my co-host is in his 60s. And when I got there, it was that conversation because it's the same, right? Even if I look into my podcast statistics and all that for Cutter's Rockcast, it's the exact same, right? You have to, it has to get shared over here in order for it to get put over here in order for these things to come up here, you know, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And I've had episodes with absolutely no offense to anybody, but unknown artists on that have been like, and then, you know, I have an episode with a couple weeks ago, Gavin Rossdale of Bush, and it was, yeah, okay. You know, it's just,
you never know.
But explaining that to my co-host, like, hey, you know, we need to be on Instagram and we need to be on, you know, I have a TikTok channel and we need to be all over the net and all this stuff. It took so long for it to register. Now I got him doing stuff, but it took him a long time. To register that stuff.
It moves so fast, and you know, TikTok, it gives you one option that is swipe up, and it's 15 second videos, and it's like information so fast. It's like I remember, you know, smoking a joint and listening to a 45-minute Pink Floyd song.
Yeah.
And that was magical to me. And now I go through YouTube and if that video says 7 minutes, I'm like, I ain't watching that shit anymore. You know, and that's what I had to do as an artist was like, you know, people don't buy records anymore. I go, neither do you, asshole. This is the changing time. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, okay. You can either change or you can say, you know, this is not how it works. Or, you know, the way it used to be, it's like, it's not like that anymore. And it's, you know, there used to be a bunch of lamp oil salesmen that ruled the world.
Yeah, but at the same time, I kind of love the dynamic of this right now because you have the choice. If you want to listen to something real quick, or you're just sitting on your phone scrolling, as my girlfriend calls it. You know, then that's where you're at. But, you know, then other days you're in the mood. Like, I have not a large vinyl collection, but a vinyl collection nonetheless. And there are days, my kids and I, all three of us, just pull out a record and pop it on and we do the, all right, you pick one, you know, and we'll do that. But then we'll also sit there with Alexa, play blah, blah, blah. Alexa, play Cutter's Rockcast.
Absolutely.
You know, Alexa, play the Lonely Ones. You know, we'll do that too, and it's kind of fun because there's more options to listen to. If you want to get into a story of an album, you can, and if you want to just listen to whatever punk rock song comes on, you can. I enjoy it.
I do too, and it's a magical time to be a consumer, and it's a magical time to be a music fan, and there's so many options.
Yeah,
and
it's not just how do we all make money at it.
Yeah. It's like, and this is how it is, and it's great. And you have to be able to look at it that way of we can't go back, I don't want to go back. So going forward, we have to figure out how, you know, you have to put out a lot of songs so that when someone does get into that mood, you can feed that beast.
100%. All right, guys, I know we could sit and talk forever, but my time's running short. You guys, good luck. I'm sure we'll see you soon after the first of the year, I hope, at least.
Absolutely, we lost
our fun rock club in town that we always used to play together, but...
The nightmare, man. we'll have to catch up real soon, though.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. It was amazing to see you again. I'm glad everything's going well for you, dude. I'm glad the podcast is kicking ass here. You know, I'm just really happy for you, man.
Oh, and that feeling's mutual. I'm happy for you guys. I'm happy to see you're doing something you love and still continuing to kick ass at it.
Still looking
to you so much.
Oh, shit. You guys haven't aged in 20 years. All right, boys.
Later, brother.
We'll talk
Thank
soon.
You, buddy.
Take care.
Good to see you, Cutter.
Cutter's Rockcast.
Don't forget to tune in.
Exactly.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.